at the Movies Reviews on Location. This is Remy with an interview with Yung Chang, the director of This Is Not a Movie, a new documentary exploring the life and times of reporter of the Middle East conflicts for The Independent, Robert Fisk.
I think that if you watch wars, and out here you do, history, unfortunately, in the Middle East is about largely wars. The making of history, the construction of politics, is done through violence. And I think that you're watching history happen, and you're telling people about it. And I think what happens is that you develop the idea that the old ideas of journalism, that you've got to be neutral and take nobody's side, is rubbish. I think as a journalist, you've got to be neutral and unbiased on the side of those who suffer. I'm a person writing this. I'm not an agency tapping away on a machine. People say, oh, you know, you're letting your feelings show. Why not? I'm the nerve ending. I'm not a machine. What I try to do when I'm writing, I try to talk to the reader like someone they know. I'm trying to write as if I'm writing to a friend. You won't believe what I've just seen. That's the key to getting people to understand what's going on.
Hello.
Hello, this is Remy from At the Movies.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
Very well. Am I speaking with Yung Chang?
You are. Okay, so a little background on me?
Yeah, just a little background on you for our audience.
I grew up in Ontario, moved to Montreal back in the mid-90s to study at Concordia University in film production, where I then continued to stay and live, but traveled off and on around the world, especially in China. I linked up with a company in Montreal called I Steal Film, who then became my producers for a few films that I made, Up the Yangtze, China Heavyweight, The Fruit Hunters. And then I moved to Toronto. And since then, I've been working here a couple years now. Mostly films, I think, if there is a sort of a through line in the movies I make, I think you could say that they mostly revolve around people on the fringes of society, people, the dislocated outsiders, people that don't really, follow the traditional kind of 9-to-5 lifestyle. And I think that has to do with something about myself, that I myself have always felt slightly uprooted and between worlds, meaning between not feeling very Canadian and not feeling very Chinese, which is my background, but I'm kind of in between the two. So that's, I guess, my position from where I make my films.
So yesterday I got to see This Is Not a Movie, and let me just say I really enjoyed it, both as a journalist and a documentary watcher. So This Is Not a Movie clearly refers to the real-life journalism that Robert Fisk risks sometimes his own life to get to the story. What makes him such an interesting documentary subject?
Yeah, I feel like Robert Fisk, he's got a full life. He's had a full life. I mean, and he's still working as a journalist in the Middle East. I think what's striking about him is that he's one of the, one of the few kind of what I call the lost generation of journalists who still, have the pad and paper and boots on the ground type reporting, eyewitness reporting. And I think that is, for me, the first thing that was very interesting. Also that he is on par with, some of these more, these sort of reporters, journalists who have made a stamp in the work that they've done because of their, especially Robert's, the length of time he's been living in the Middle East, the sort of his longevity, I think, speaks to the experience he's had. It speaks to maybe some insight that he may be able to offer in terms of looking at journalism. So that's where I think he is. That's why using him as a sort of as the subject in which to look at journalism was interesting to me. And I think for me, the hope was always to make a film that kind of leapt beyond the portrait of Robert Fisk, that I was hoping that it could be more about the ideas, because we could potentially put the trust into the voice of someone like Robert Fisk, as quote-unquote controversial as he may be. To me, he's sort of also like a contemporary with Noam Chomsky. I mean, Chomsky and Fisk actually go way back, share some of their ideas. But for me also, it was this idea to create a film that would just bring to light, you know, questions of the role of journalism today, questioning, the subjectivity of truth, thinking about our complicity in war, if any, and also the role of the written word in today's in today's world, where it's a completely flipped way of in which we consume media. So it's sort of like trying to throw those themes into this through the story of Robert Fisk.
Yeah. So essentially, also as I was watching the movie, even though Robert does work inside of the Middle East, you came across some challenges and some risks while filming this documentary, as well too. A poignant point would be the Belarus segment where he was facing some challenges there. So what types of challenges or risks were associated with making this documentary?
Sure. I mean, just to clarify, it wasn't Belarus, but Bosnia in the Balkans. But I think, there's a lot of, once you enter the world of a journalist like Robert Fisk, part of it, the way we wanted to tell the story was there wouldn't be any second chances, that and we would literally be following Robert as he desired and where he wanted to go to tell the story he wanted to tell. And it so happened that this Bosnian arms factory story, following the Saudi arms discovered in Aleppo, fragments in Aleppo and manuals in the hands of ISIS. This is the story Robert wanted to pursue. So I think, as Robert says in the film, one of the most dangerous things for reporters is when they're dealing with human trafficking, or for reporters, is human trafficking or anything to do with arms, illegal trade of arms. So immediately, there was a sense that we had to be very careful, and who knows what could happen. But I think Robert Fisk has kind of been through 40 years of kind of the working on the edge like this, and I think he's built up quite a sense of safety and his radar for danger is quite tuned. And I don't think we would have pursued things further if we were in harm's way or potentially in danger's way. You never know, as you see in the film, where he does call for a little safety check-in. I think you're making, and when making a film about a journalist who's a war who reports on wars and reports in dangerous places, I think you automatically kind of set yourself up for situations that may or may not happen. And so the best you can do is just put your trust in the people you're with and the crew you assemble, so that you have a plan in place in case of any trouble.
All right. So as you're following Robert, you're also showing us archival footage of the time that he was covering the Troubles inside of Ireland and other archival footage of him. So how did you obtain this archival footage, and maybe talk a little bit about how you blended the process of both covering him as a live footage as he's continuing his journey, and his archival footage as well, too?
Yeah, I think one of the great challenges of a movie about the Middle East, a movie about a journalist who is whose career basically follows the, 40 years of conflict in the Middle East, is that there's a lot of a lot of ground to cover. We knew from the beginning that this film wouldn't be a history lesson, but that it would actually be the theme would be more focused on the idea of the role of journalism today and in the past. So at our disposal, knowing what we were about to embark on the production process, were a couple key archival films that we had access to. One of them was a BBC documentary made about Robert called Reporter, from back in the early 1970s, when he was covering the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And that was great because it actually thematically dealt with exactly the challenges that he still deals with today, which is how to report and what is truth and all of the things that I think kind of come out in the movie as well. So we were able to find really, you know, have that access. And then and fast forward to another couple other documents that we had, which was another series he made for Channel 4 back in the early 90s called Beirut to Bosnia, a three-part series. And that was more geared towards sort of looking at the anger fermenting in the Middle East, you know, with, and sort of exploring what was going on there. But, you know, that for us could link to 9/11, September 11th attacks. So basically the structure of the film was built around the idea like that I had access to some remarkable archives. I had access to Robert Fisk's personal archives, which were, you know, kind of never before seen photographs, never before heard, you know, recordings in the field. So unedited field recordings. And so going into the filmmaking, I knew that, you know, this is going to be a film that would have a present day structure where we would be with Robert as he's investigating, cracking stories, and then somehow we would find a way to go into the past, and really didn't know how. Went in with into it for the first time ever in a film without the knowledge of how the film would conclude, that this would be the structure, and then aligned myself with one of the most remarkable editors I think we have in Canada named Mike Munn, who is the editor of Sarah Polley's Stories We Tell, and amongst other legendary movies, including Roadkill and A Picture of Light. So, you know, aligning, like putting the team together is crucial in executing, I think, a film that is challenging in terms of like just being able to see how it can be shaped. And so part of that was finding Mike and working together with him for over a year in the editing room to piece this together. It came about very organically. We had present storyline and stories that, you know, that had their own kind of mini narrative arcs within, like the Bosnian story. But then we'd need to find these throwaway moments, sort of branches into the past that thematically could link back to the present, et cetera, et cetera. So it was an easy process. It took a long time, but I feel like it, when you have the time, you're afforded the time to work on it. So thankfully, the film board and the producers, you know, supported that. We could then say we exhausted, you know, what we could do with the film. And this is the result.
I'm assuming that Robert has seen the film already. So mm-hmm. What were some of his immediate reactions following when he watched it?
Robert's a funny guy. I mean, he clearly, after he first saw it on the big screen in Toronto at the Toronto International Film Festival, our world premiere, he was visibly moved. I could see that. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be on the other side of the camera, but, you know, as the subject. But I would imagine if you were to make a film about somebody's life in terms of like the spanning their 40 years as their career is sort of coming to nearing, you know, conclusion, I'm assuming it must be somewhat surreal to see yourself interpreted in a movie. And, you know, Robert, during the process of making the film and editing the film, was totally hands-off. That was part of our deal. You know, he could not inform any of the editorial. So it was a surprise, I think. He didn't know what he was going to see. And I think he was quite enthused by it. You know, he's actually quite a movie critic. And early in his career, he had considered becoming a film critic. He is very knowledgeable with movies, especially movies that deal with the Great World Wars, the two World Wars. He's very interested in those kind of stories. So, and Hitchcock, you know, he can really go deep dive into analyzing filmmaking and documentary. So he hasn't given me his full critical feedback, but I think he I think he's, dare I say, slightly humbled by the movie. I'm not sure. But I know that at least he didn't say anything negative.
Mm-hmm. Normally, we like to end our interviews with a fun question, so maybe you can tell us one of your favorite films of the year so far, like documentary or feature length features, or something that you saw at TIFF that you really enjoyed.
There's two films that really rocked me this year, and one of them was a Canadian feature, first-time feature by a female director from East Coast. And it's just an amazing movie. It won the best Canadian feature at TIFF this year. It's called Murmur, and it's just remarkable. I highly recommend anyone to go out and see it. It's just such a controlled piece of filmmaking that is sort of like a documentary. I would call it a hybrid, as I think the director uses techniques in documentary and brings them to the fiction kind of palette. And the other film, of course, is Bong Joon-ho's Parasite. Unbelievable movie that just twists and turns that are totally unpredictable, to the point that at the apex of the film, he's able to throw in a very deep social commentary that just underscores the strength of the story he was trying to tell. It's a remarkable piece of movie making, and clearly, to me, like a commercial film, but also infused with the kind of thing we try to do in our socially conscious sort of filmmaking as well. And I think that those two for me have been amazing. I would say those are the two. Well, and Murmur, by the way, is by Heather Young, filmmaker.
This Is Not a Movie is showing at this year's RIDM Festival on November 17th at 8 p.m. at Cinema Cineplex Quartier Latin, Salle numéro 10, and on November 18th at 6 p.m. at Cinéma du Parc, Salle numéro 2. For more coverage on this year's RIDM Festival, visit Sigillo's magazine page at sigillo.com and under the magazine section. For more information about the RIDM Festival, visit RIDM.ca.